In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, there are two miracles in the text today. Two healings. The healing of the centurion's servant and the healing of the man with leprosy. These are very different events, really. I mean, very different situations. One man is a Jewish leper. The other is a Roman, a centurion, a soldier, a soldier's servant. The one has leprosy. The other's paralyzed. And the one Jesus heals simply by speaking the word, and it's done. The other Jesus heals by going to him and touching him. We want to consider these each separately, but perhaps we should spend a little bit of time considering the similarities first. For there's something similar to both leprosy and paralysis, and it is this. Both of these diseases, or both of these situations, cause you to lose your feeling, your nerves. Leprosy damages the nerves such that you can't feel or touch anything. So a person with leprosy could put their hand in the fire or cut their finger, and they wouldn't even know. And the same is true of paralysis. If you're paralyzed, you can neither move or feel those parts of your body that are paralyzed. I remember, and I might have told you this before, but I remember when I was at the seminary sitting in the parking lot with another classmate of mine, and we heard this crash, and we ran up the street and found a man lying there underneath a motorcycle that had just crashed into a tree. And we ran up to him. We could see that he was terribly injured. We ran up to him and we asked him, "Are you hurt? Are you okay?" And he said, "I don't know. I can't feel anything." He'd broken his neck. He was paralyzed from the neck down, and he had no sensation. He didn't know if he just dinged his head or if his whole body was broken, which it was. And this is the problem with paralysis. You don't even know how bad things are. Just to finish the story, we called the police. We asked him if he was baptized. He was. We said a prayer with him and tried to comfort him with the Lord's word of promise while we wait for the ambulance to arrive. And when I went on vicarage, I visited him right before we left, and he was getting ready to go out of the hospital with a wheelchair. They had just built a ramp on his house and all of this. Incredible. But this is paralysis and leprosy. You don't know how bad it is. If someone falls off a ladder or falls off a roof and they break their leg, they know it. You can feel it. They say, "I need help." But if someone falls off the roof and they break their leg and they break their neck, then they don't even know it. They don't know how bad their situation is. They might say to the person that's walking by, "Hey, just give me a hand up and I'll be fine." And this, the analogy here, or the point to be made, is a quite terrible description of our own sinfulness. We are so sunk in sin that we don't even know how bad it is. We don't know how desperate our situation is. We don't know how offensive we are to our holy God. In fact, we have to only learn it from the scriptures. Our sinfulness is so deep and horrible, a corruption of nature, that no reason can even understand it. So that when we confess, "I am a poor, miserable sinner," we are confessing that by faith. By faith in the Lord's word that tells us that our situation is so horrible that we don't even know how bad it is. Like the leper or like the paralyzed man, we can't even sense the depth of our sickness. Much less can we begin to heal ourselves. But Jesus knows. He knows how bad it is, how bad you are, how bad I am, and still he comes to heal us and rescue us and deliver us, just like he did in the text. So to the text. For dramatic effect, I'll tell you why. We're going to take the second healing first, the healing of the paralyzed man. The centurion, and centurion means that you're a Roman military officer with 100 men under your control. He is a man with authority, and he knows what it is to command people and to have his words be done. He says, I say to one soldier, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. But here's the problem. His servant can't do this anymore. His servant is paralyzed. He can't follow the authority and the word of this centurion. And so the centurion knows he needs to find a man whose words have more authority than his, whose words have the authority even to give motion to the man who's paralyzed. And this centurion, by faith, knows that it's Jesus. He goes to him, and he begs him, interceding on behalf of his servant, come and heal my servant who's paralyzed and is suffering. And Jesus says, let's go. But then, and here's the drama in the text, the centurion says, no, I don't want you to come. You don't need to come. Lord, the centurion says, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. This, by the way, is an ancient prayer used by Christians before taking the Lord's Supper. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Say the word, and I will be healed. For I too, continues the centurion, am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found this kind of faith. Truly I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, when the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. What Jesus is saying is that here, in this Roman soldier, I find greater faith than I do in those who are of Israel, in those who have grown up in the synagogue, in those who have trusted the scriptures. And to the centurion, Jesus says, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And at that very moment, his servant was healed. Jesus simply heals him with a promise, with a word. This is a long-distance healing. He doesn't even go to the house. He doesn't need to fix this man's paralysis. And imagine that he's lying there in bed, unable to move, and suddenly he can. What happened? And when his master gets back, he says, what time were you healed? And he says, that's the same time that Jesus says, go. Jesus speaks with authority. We should know this because the same Jesus who healed this paralyzed man is the same one who spoke and the worlds leapt into existence. The universe began to be. Light was created and all of life with it. Go, Jesus says, and the paralyzed man is healed. Forgiven, Jesus says, and we are forgiven. Jesus, on the last day, will say this, rise, and all the dead will come out of the grave. But I want this miracle, this healing of the paralyzed man, to serve, if you will, as kind of a preface for the other miracle in the text, the healing of the leper. For if you have leprosy, you are in great trouble. There is no one to intercede for you. You know that Moses commanded the lepers to cry out, unclean, unclean, whenever anyone came near. And the commenters on the scripture say that Moses had them do that so that you would be reminded to pray for these men, that the Lord would heal them. But the rabbis took that to say, stay away. If you're a leper and you're in Israel, you have it terrible. You can't go into the temple. In fact, you can't go into Jerusalem. In fact, you can't go into any city that has walls in it. You've got to be outside. And you've always got to be at least 6 or 7 feet away from a healthy person. But if the wind is blowing, that's expanded to 100 feet. You would walk around with garbs of mourning covering your face, and any time anyone came near, you would have to shout out to your own shame, unclean, unclean. Perhaps Moses gives all of these instructions so that the people would be kept safe, so that there wouldn't be this danger of leprosy spreading. But the rabbis taught that leprosy was a punishment for a particular sin. In fact, they had a list of 11 sins that you could commit to deserve the punishment of leprosy. And the rabbis, understand that the rabbis are the respected leaders in the city, the rabbis would go through extreme lengths to stay separate and distant from anyone with leprosy. You read through this and it almost makes you weep. One rabbi said that he wouldn't even eat an egg that was bought on the street where a leper had walked. Another of the rabbis boasted that he would throw rocks at lepers to keep them at a distance. Can you imagine that? Here is the teacher of the church throwing rocks at you so you would stay away from him. Can you imagine being that much of an outcast, that much of an outsider, the targets of scorn and mockery for the rabbis and for the people? You couldn't touch anybody, and even if you could, you couldn't feel it. There's this great and tragic distance between the lepers and the people. This was not just cultural, but it was according to the oral tradition that the rabbis and the Pharisees had set. So imagine this distance, this pain, and this suffering, and then hear again what Jesus does. Because he doesn't just heal this leper, he goes and touches him. The reason why I wanted to have the story of the healing of the paralyzed man first is to emphasize the fact that Jesus doesn't have to touch someone to heal him. He doesn't even have to see him. He doesn't even have to be in the same room with them. He can just speak the word, and the guy miles down the street can be healed. Jesus does not have to reach out and touch this man with leprosy, making himself ritually unclean, bringing upon himself the shame of this man's sickness and this man's sin. Jesus doesn't have to do it, but he does. Jesus, the leper came to him, to Jesus, and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will be clean." Jesus touched him. Can you imagine how it would be to be this leper? And do you see what it means about Jesus? It means that he is not concerned with his own holiness or his own purity or his own staying safe. He is not interested in being distant from sinners so that he can have this aura of purity. He is concerned rather with his leper and with his healing. He is concerned with you and me. And this is the point. Jesus is not ashamed of you. He is not ashamed of your shame. He is not ashamed of your sin. He is not ashamed of your sickness and your weakness, and your uncleanness. Jesus doesn't stay away. He doesn't keep a distance. He comes to you to speak to you and to touch you. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the backyard with the boys playing, and Andrew was hanging from the swing set, and Daniel, like he always does, wanted to hang there as well. So I lifted him up, and he's hanging from the bars. After a while, you know how it goes, his grip is starting to get loose, so he gets anxious and cries, "Daddy, Daddy," he wants me to be there to catch him, and I'm standing right beside him, and I say to him, "It's okay, let go, I'll catch you. It's fine, you can drop." But he wouldn't let go. He was clinging on for dear life. I told him with my words that I was there to catch him if he fell, but he wouldn't. "Daddy, Daddy, 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 Daddy," until I touched him. And he knew I was there, and he let go, and he fell into my arms. So it is with Jesus. He gives us his word, but he also touches us. From this altar, with his very body and blood, in your mouth. It's okay. I've got you. And he touches us. So that we know. So that we can be sure. So that we can have the absolute confidence that he loves us and he takes care of us and that he has for us life and healing and forgiveness. When we hear, dear saints, that Jesus reached out and touched the leper and bespoke him clean, we should see ourselves there. On the end of Jesus' blessed touch, at the object of his words, at the end of his gifts. And we rejoice in this, in his great love for us. May this, the touch of Jesus, and his word of absolution, be your comfort and peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.